Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yo, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, April 9th. I just snorted.
Yep, How's it going? And you said yo.
And I said yo. Well, that was by design. I don't know why I felt like saying it,
well, who cares?
I said it. Exactly.
Just go with whatever you're feeling in your heart, you know?
Yeah. Like, yo. But anyway, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. We have a great show for you today. We have a guest in the studio. And if you want to watch us, as usual, go to Facebook Live on LA Talk Radio's page, and you'll see us there. Mm. What's that? Oh, you got a video running there? Just turned on the volume, that's all. We're hearing things. That's okay. That's fine. You know, you intended to put it away. You knew something would happen. But we'll get to our guest in just a moment. And this is going to be interesting because she's like a costume designer and stuff. She does a lot of cool stuff, you know. And so we're going to get to that in just a moment. How are you today? You're not working, I take it?
No, I worked last night till 1 a.m.
Did you?
Yeah, that's why I could not wake up this morning. I was like, nope.
That's not why. You can't wake up every morning.
No, I used to be a morning person.
I know, but you haven't been sleeping very well. You know?
I know, yeah.
So there you go, you know. Yeah.
Because I felt like before I could go to bed at like 2 a.m. and still be up by like 7.
Right.
I just don't
but
know what's
your sleep
going on.
Is not good, yeah.
Yeah, I had really bad sleep paralysis last night.
Really?
Yeah, like 4 times. I'm like, all right, chill. Little bitch sleep.
You know, I had some wild dreams.
Yeah.
You know how some dreams, you don't want them to end and then you wake up and you go, damn it, you know, I should have stayed in bed for a few more minutes.
Well, it's funny because when I was at work, the security guard was telling me about this place that there's a hotel called Shutters in Santa Monica, mm-hmm. and I guess it's haunted.
Really?
So for like 2 hours, we were talking about that, and then he was saying like he got a job there, and after he got a job there, like he started like at his house with like his kids and stuff, like paranormal stuff started going on, and then all night long, I had dreams of like ghosts and shit.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to need to never work with that security guard ever again.
Yeah. You got to be kidding.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like every single one of my dreams was about like ghosts, spirits.
Yeah.
And I had sleep paralysis like 4 times. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Freaks me out. Cause I was like interested. I was like, oh, maybe I'll get like my camera guy who films my podcast to like come with me for a night with my girlfriends and we can film like staying in the hotel for a night. But now for sure, I don't want to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Those spirits come and follow me home.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny. Yesterday, I had a couple of people that I just met mm-hmm. recently in a group came out to visit here at the station, right?
Okay.
And he goes, so where's your co-host? I said, what do you mean? He says, well, I checked your show out and everything, and I wanted to meet her. I said, well, we do the show in the morning. You're right. Here in the afternoon and stuff. You know? Right. I said, come on the show and meet her. He says, no, I really want to meet her. I said, what do you mean? He says, I like her. I said, wait a minute. You don't stand a fucking chance.
I'm glad you told him, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, he's a married guy.
Okay, first of all, probably, piece of shit.
Yeah, I know. But no, but he you know what he told me? He
says, they're in an open relationship?
Or something like that. His wife like tells him, go to Thailand and do your thing. He goes for 2-3 weeks and he comes back. I don't know how people can do that, but they do, you know? So at any rate, but the funny thing was, he started doing, I couldn't take him. I
Why
know,
Thailand?
Because it's like a sex destination, you know? Yeah.
Is
People
it?
Go there to have sex, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But it's the number one place for trans.
Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't
No, 110%.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
if my
I
husband's ever like, I'm going to Thailand, all right, well, here's the divorce papers.
Exactly,
so.
You know,
you
but I figured
fun.
He gets a hall pass. I'm like, wow, you know, I can't believe that. But anyway, so, but then I didn't know if he's serious, not serious. You know how the type of people.
Yeah, they're joking around.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know if many women are like that, but some guys are like that. He's like constantly joking, and then he's like, no, I'm serious. I'm like, well, are you serious or are you joking? I don't know how to take you anymore. And that's how the way the whole thing goes. And then he goes, look, he says, let's do this. He comes and he puts his finger on my forehead, right?
Okay.
I said, what exactly are you trying to do? He says, just hold on a second. And then he presses his car fob, his key fob, you know, for the car, the button. And he goes, did you feel anything? I'm like, are you shitting me? What the hell's wrong with you?
He's maybe like, he's just amped up
life. But then the girl that was there also from the group was laughing.
This?
This was yesterday. And she starts laughing and everything. And I said, what the hell's going on? I mean, I'm not going to go along with this stupid thing here. And then he's like, no, it's like a blessing and you're going to feel something. And constantly they're like, are you feeling it? I'm like, I don't know what to feel. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't believe any of this. So.
But you don't really believe in much, so.
That's true. I'm pretty skeptical. Yeah. But I do believe in God and the laws of nature. And I don't believe people have superpowers. But at any rate. What I'm saying is.
So you don't think that hotel in Santa Monica is haunted?
I don't know. I'm not getting into that right now. Let me finish this before I forget. So this guy, so then he says. So I said, well, what am I supposed to do? He says, you'll feel you like me more or something. You know, you'll feel like a good energy and stuff. Maybe by tomorrow. And you know what? The bottom line is, I actually like him less now. I'm totally not drawn to this guy. I'm like, I don't know how to take him. You know, this is like too much bullshit. If he can't be serious and just carry a normal conversation, constantly keep me on my toes to figure out what the hell you're trying to say and do, I'll pass.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
All right then, Sam.
Yeah. But I mean, I said, what makes you think you have a chance with Danny? I said, you know.
I mean, nobody has a chance with me, so it's right. Like literally nobody.
Right.
You're not the only one, champ, but thank you so much.
So I protected you.
Yeah, not happening. Sorry.
I'd love to see it when he comes on the show and he starts hitting on you.
Yeah, but
I'll throw him out the window.
No, he can hit on me, but I'm going to make him feel like an ass.
Yeah.
So go for it.
Yeah.
And then this is recorded and saved.
That's
so.
What he needs. He needs somebody to put him in his place, you know?
Oh, man.
I know.
Men just think that they can say or do whatever they want. I'm not like a prized possession.
Yeah.
Just because you meet me doesn't mean I'm sucking your wiener. So.
And he didn't even meet you. That's the whole point. He just saw you in pictures and stuff, you know. And
which is, that's usually what happens with men.
Maybe he liked you when he watched the show, too. You know, maybe your personality drew him in.
I don't know.
Whatever.
He's probably watching this morning. And he's like, damn, this man is talking mad shit about me.
Exactly. Well, he deserves it. He put me through shit last night. All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guest right now who's sitting here patiently and we're eager to talk. We're joined by Laura Fracon. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Did I
me.
Say it right?
You said it right.
Awesome. Yes. And Laura, you have a passion for beauty, fashion, life, and all things green. So we're going to check it out. You're an Emmy-nominated costume designer.
I'm part of an Emmy-nominated team. I always like to say that because we work as teams. And it's been
Was it your team? Were you the leader of the team?
I was the second in command.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. This is a big deal. Still.
Yeah, you still get the credit. What the hell?
You get the credit, but I always like to say we're a team.
Right. Yeah. But you can drop the Emmy name. It always helps. You know?
it's a little, you know, just that little statue kind of thing.
Yeah. So costume designer and wardrobe director. So obviously you're involved with the way the actors look on the screen. You have to match the period, right, to the clothes and everything. That's very interesting, and it sounds very intricate, like there's a lot to know, right?
Yes.
I mean, you have to research different periods to find out really what people were wearing, the customs and everything, right?
Pretty much most of our job in the beginning is doing all the research because even if it's contemporary, let's say you're doing a show that takes place in Fargo, you have to like do the research and know what the people who actually live there are wearing. or if it's the 1800s, you better do your research and know what was happening, both like with clothing, in socioeconomic terms, what people were doing for their jobs. You know, all that stuff is really important.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it has to be like custom made, right? Because like stuff they were wearing in like Victorian times, like I can't just like go out and buy right now.
Right. But don't the studios have like a lot of inventory of these kind of things?
Yeah, so there are costume houses out here that we definitely utilize. There's some really big ones just up around here, in fact. But yes, a lot of times you do have to custom make most of the clothes in a period show. And then when the show's over, it either gets sold to the costume houses or it goes into archives for people to use at a later time.
Right. Wow. So how did you get into this, Laura?
Well, I grew up, my grandmother was an opera singer and she did musical theater on Broadway. And I was a kid performer, you know, piano, dance, all that stuff. So I always had it in me.
Right.
My dad's a jazz musician. So, you know, that artistic thing runs deep. Right. But really I got into, I did a lot of acting in theater and where I'm from. And when I was about 15, I met a costume designer and she said, you know, you should really think about this too. It's not just being in front of the on stage. It's very important to be backstage too and making the design elements. And ever since then, I started kind of experimenting. When I was 15, I ended up going to school for theater, and I double majored in theater and business.
Wow. And at what age?
When I was in, when I went to college. So when I was 18. Yeah.
I thought you said 15.
No, she started dabbling in behind the scenes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. So okay. Because I thought, oh, we got like a prodigy here. She went to college at 15.
No.
There are some people that do go to college at 15.
Yeah.
I know.
Not me.
No. Me neither.
Me neither. Yeah. No. But yeah, so I would like act in a play and then I'd design a play and then I'd act in a play and design a play. And anyway, And then when it came time to go to grad school, that's when I really made the choice of like, okay, I want to focus on just the theatrical design elements. Went to school in New York for I went to grad school in New York and, you know, worked at all the tiny little black box theaters, off Broadway stuff. And
That's how you
get started.
So do you have to go to grad school to be like a costume designer?
You don't have to, but it's... If you really want to learn construction of garments, like proper construction of garments, a lot of research, that history.
But can't you do that without college? Like, don't you just think that's like an unnecessary debt?
It probably like saved you a few years of having to get experience from starting at the bottom, right?
Maybe you have to start at the bottom anyway.
Not necessarily. Let's see what you said.
I'm a big fan of education, no matter what. I don't think everybody needs to go the traditional college grad school route that I did. Yeah, it's expensive.
It's expensive. Yeah. Grad school is like on another level.
Yeah.
As soon as you say grad school, like got chills. Yeah. Oh God.
Oh yeah.
Grad school in New York.
Yeah.
Sounds expensive.
College is like kryptonite for her, you know?
Yeah.
But no, a lot of people that I work with, they either came up through, you know, maybe their parents were costumers. It's a different skill set a lot of times. Like those are the people that are more on set, kind of like fixing the collars and doing that. Or people are age or dyers or seamstresses. Maybe they didn't go to college. Maybe they learned from a parent or, you know, got their training elsewhere. But for me, it just made sense. I just really like, because I love the history of costume so much and I really wanted to make sure I was really strong in construction and research and all that, it just made sense for me.
Right.
So to you, clothes is more than just something that you put on. I mean, it's an expression. It's I guess a reflection of you, of the time, you know, of the culture and everything. So, I mean, I just finished watching Highwaymen on Netflix and, the costumes there were like amazing,
fantastic.
But you really have to immerse yourself in that period, understand what they were wearing, you know? Like everybody was wearing hats, right? Back in the 30s and stuff, everybody was wearing hats. So, I mean, today nobody wears a hat, you know? Hardly anybody.
I feel like they're kind of coming back.
What,
those hats? I mean,
Yeah, there's so many people in my restaurant wear those. I'm like, take that off.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
They're coming back, but it wasn't like it's not a standard.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Because when
it
you walk
like
in, you're
suit
like.
Suit and a hat. Yeah.
People who wear with like jeans. Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. So you really have to know history too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because especially with the period pieces and stuff. Now, have you ever worked on something that's like takes place in the future, like space movies or anything similar to that? Or is it more like things from the past?
I guess the only one I've done that was kind of futuristic was Men in Black 3. But really, we did like a flashback to the future. You know, that one we flashed back to the 60s and then ended up in the future.
Right.
But it wasn't. I haven't done those really like a, crazy futuristic.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because then it's kind of like tricky because, well, now we have an idea of what they're supposed to look like from all the movies we've seen. Mm-hmm. But if an innovative movie comes along, and you could go to town with that kind of a job, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, to try to figure out what people would be wearing 50, 100 years from now.
Yeah, but that might be also kind of cooler and funner and easier because you can just literally design it any way you want.
Right.
Because there is no definitive answer for that.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
They can't verify that.
I do wonder what it's going to be like in like 50 years.
Yeah. It's going to be such a different world.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, think how different it's been in the past 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, so imagine 50 years at the speed that we're moving now and probably faster.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How old will you be at the time? Another 30
in 50 years?
You'll be 60.
I'll be 60, yeah.
It's 2020 almost, so 30. You'll be about 60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll be 6 feet.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe that?
It's a crazy thought.
It is.
Yeah.
I'll never make it to 2050. That's okay. I made it to 2000. I remember when I was a kid, it was 40 years away. For me.
Oh,
the
shit.
The year 2000.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I remember when 2000 hit, everyone thought like aliens were going to come, Y2K, and everyone was just like sitting at their house, like, it's going down. At midnight, it's going down.
I know.
And then nothing happened.
But imagine as a child, I was there. I remember I was probably like 10 years old or something, thinking, in 30 years, it's going to be the year 2000. What is it going to look like? We could have never imagined.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It seemed like spacey, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think? Where do you think the world is going now as far as, well, let's say clothes. I mean, that's what you're familiar with.
Yeah. I mean, I really hope that people start realizing what's happening to our planet. And this is where I will start talking about Vertlux, because I started Vertlux because of me working in the fashion and entertainment industry and knowing how polluting the garment industry is and the fashion industry is today. And I really hope that people start taking an initiative and using sustainable materials more. There's so many great innovations, like people are making fabric out of pineapple and using dyes made from onion skins, you know, like almost like going back to your roots to get to the future.
Right.
So I'm hoping that we start recycling more plastics and making, you know, I have a pair of leggings that's made out of plastic bottles, you know, thinking more like that so that we actually have a planet in 50 years.
Right.
That's
right.
Right.
It's just really hard because I feel like everyone is so lazy.
They're lazy.
Yeah.
And the problem is now that we've started this trend of fast fashion where you can get something for $2, that's like the most horrible thing, because what's going on is people are forgetting that actual quality goods, they don't cost $2. They cost more. And there's a reason that you're paying for them. And you're paying people to make your clothes rather than a sweatshop overseas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting that you integrated that. So you mentioned Vertlux. Tell us what that is.
So Vertlux is my new frontier. It's an eco-conscious lifestyle platform. We have 5 pillars. We focus on fashion, beauty, home, life, and wedding. And it's basically a collective of brands and resources and information for people to be able to go and say, hey, I want to go shopping, but I want sustainable clothes. Okay, I'm going to shop from these brands. Oh, I need a new lipstick. This is a great brand. I'll go to Vertlux for all of this information. I'm redecorating my home. How about some home goods that are actually eco-friendly? So that's what Vertlux strives to be and is.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
When did you start it?
Well, I started building it. I got the idea in 2015. I was planning my wedding and I wanted to have an eco-conscious, sustainable wedding. But I was working in Australia on a movie. And even though Australia is super eco-friendly, finding products and gowns and shoes and everything for my wedding was really hard.
Yeah.
And the idea came to me, well, why not have this one place for people to be able to go to find these things? So Vertlux Bride was the first iteration of Vertlux. And a couple months after that, I met with a consultant and she said, you know, if you're planning an eco-friendly wedding, you're going to be living an eco-friendly life. So why not make it a lifestyle platform?
Right.
And so that's how we built. We've been building for about a year and we did our first big launch in February. So it's new.
Congratulations.
But we're really making headway and think good things are happening.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Very cool. Well, you seem passionate and excited about it.
That's the first, I love it.
That's the first key to success.
Yeah.
Is you got to love what you're doing.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
At least that.
It's true.
But it's cool. So so do you think if everybody lived like that, it would really make a difference? I mean,
I do.
Really? Well, but to say everybody is not realistic, but you're saying the more, the better, as far as people practicing this kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, and it's simple steps. I mean, I'm not saying you have to, like, go live in a treehouse in the woods and, you know, only grow your own food. That's We live in Los Angeles. That doesn't even remotely make sense.
Right.
But, you know, like, little steps along the way. I mean, I'm so thankful that plastic bags are now finally getting banned in places and straws are getting banned because nobody needs that stuff. You know, we've got it.
Right. Yeah. But, like, even Starbucks, they said they banned straws and they still got plenty of straws in there.
Yeah.
Anytime I go, I use a straw.
Don't use a straw.
I know.
Or bring your own.
I love straws. I'm like literally sipping from one right now.
But let me ask you this. Are straws really the problem of the planet right now? Really?
No. This is just, straws are not the problem.
Right.
Straws are bad for oceans.
Straws are horrible in all ways, but there's so many more things that are bad.
But what's wrong with the straw?
Well, you can't recycle them, number one.
Why? Because people's mouths have been on it?
They're just a really hard material to recycle.
Yeah, they are a weird material.
And they end up, because they're so small, they just end up in oceans. And then what happens is that all those plastics that are going into your oceans are breaking down into tiny little micro molecules that your fish are eating. And then they're going into if you're eating the fish, it's in their bloodstream and it's not in your bloodstream.
So the straw comes back to us.
Oh, he should have never thought of it that way.
Yeah. I
mean, like when you go to get sushi, like Lord knows what that fish ate.
And that's all, that's not just what they're eating, but you know, marine life is getting killed all the time from ghost fishing nets. And just these bags floating around, you know, you see these pictures.
Yeah, I see horrible, like, seals and, like, otters and, like, really terrible.
It's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up to us to help to stop the
problem. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, yeah.
There's too many, like, asses out there, though. Like, the people that just, like, kill rhinos for fun and stuff. I'm like, what? For what? So you can tell your boys you killed a rhino?
Yeah.
Did you guys hear that story? There was a guy who was a rhino killer. He's like known. He's been like posted on all like the anti, like basically all the animal blogs out there like have posted this guy 1,000 times.
Uh-huh.
He just got killed by an elephant and then his body was eaten by lions.
By a lion. I saw that.
I'm like, well, that's karma.
I was just going to say that.
It came back and got you in the worst way because you got killed by an elephant, dude. Yeah. And they're like the cutest. They seem like, I guess if you cross an elephant,
yeah,
like,
you'll make them angry.
Yeah.
They have defense mechanism just like everybody else in nature. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. I mean, and I agree. I mean, nature is amazing. We got to preserve it and stuff. And I guess everybody's got to do a little bit, right? Start somewhere and stuff.
Yeah.
But many, many, many countries are not even educated about this, right?
Well, that's the problem. We have a lot of, unfortunately, you know, we've been shipping our plastics over to Asia for all these years, and now they're getting wise, and they're like, we don't want your plastics anymore. And so now what happens? Now where do things go? Or I mean, if you look at these beaches in India that are just completely destroyed from waste and pollution,
really?
You're like, we have to do something,
right?
But we as Americans are educated and we can do things. We can, you know, give back through charities and organizations, and we can start the cycle. We have the means, so why not us start so that we can it's like a filter effect, you know, it just filters down
and right.
more and more people will learn about it.
Right.
Yeah, cool. When did you start becoming conscious of the ecology, let's say?
I'm a self-proclaimed eco geek. I grew up on a farm in Pennsylvania, an orchard. And so it was always like farm to table food. That whole movement was really, really important to me, even mm-hmm. as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because no farms, no food, all that stuff. It's really true. And then when I went to college, I actually was the head of the environmental committee at my student government board. So I started this program called...
Well, are you serious about that? You can't mess with her. She does what she wants.
No, but I started this program where like you could bring your own mug to the coffee shops and they would refill it for like 25 cents versus like the $2 that a coffee costs. So kids everywhere were like walking around with these, you know, these mugs. And I was like, yeah, I did that.
That's awesome. So going back to the costumes and stuff, I'm really fascinated with some of this stuff. So I see you also do consulting and styling. Tell us what that is about.
So basically, a lot of people don't know how to dress themselves. And that's why, you know, as I'm sure you've had to work with stylists for some of your jobs. And we have that gift. We know how to dress people. We know what body types and all that stuff. So, you know, it's nice for people that don't know how to do that. Like,
right.
I'm horrible at coloring my own hair. So I go and consult and have somebody
else do,
right.
it.
To do it. And right. so sometimes people are just like, look, I have a big job interview. I don't know what to wear. Or I just lost 40 pounds. Take me shopping. You right. know, so there's those, you know, I offer those services as well.
That's mm-hmm. awesome. Mm-hmm. Where can people find out more about that if they want to connect with you?
They can go to my website, laurafracon.com, and just, you know, send me a message or follow me on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, reach out to me that way.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I have, and if I'm busy on a show, I have many friends that also do consulting and I always like to recommend them if I'm busy
right.
and I'm working on a project.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're definitely guaranteed to look good. I mean, if you've done all this work with in movies and costumes and stuff, she knows something about clothes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. She keeps getting hired for a reason, people.
So what are some of the jobs you've done? I mean, what, like movies, TV, things like that?
Yeah, I basically started doing movies and TV. I got my first movie back when I was in New York in 2007. And it was an indie, but that kind of made me realize, like, I really love doing movies and TV. And
right.
so I moved out here to LA because... much more business out here
right.
for that. And, you know, my favorite projects, I really, really loved working on True Blood, not just for how fun and campy and crazy it was, but my team on that show remains some of my best friends today, and mm-hmm. I love working with them. I loved doing Men in Black 3 because, like I said, we did this whole flashback to the 60s
mm-hmm.
and we did this insane Andy Warhol loft party where we made these incredibly crazy costumes mm-hmm. for that.
Wow. I don't remember that scene from the movie. I remember part of it, but
it was so fast. That's unfortunately, that's what happens
really?
Sometimes. You yeah. work so hard on
so
something.
So hard and it's just
and then
fast.
It was like 10 seconds. Yeah.
Right.
Gets
that's
cut
how
out.
Movies are, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they
yeah.
have to. Yeah.
Well, because the editing is so important. And if it's like, oh, we're running too long or that part doesn't really make sense, bam, out.
Exactly.
I was an extra in Ted.
The Ted
and a party scene because it was filmed in Boston.
Uh-huh.
And I was there for 2 days, I think 15 hours a day.
Yeah.
And they didn't even use the entire scene in the movie.
Wow.
Not even 1 second of it. I'm like, you guys spent a whole 2 days on this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Didn't even use 1 second of it.
And sometimes think about it. Like you have like a whole scene where, you know, they set up a big rig or something like like in the movie I just saw, like let's say you seen them driving in the desert, right? So they're only doing like a few seconds or something, but think how long it takes to film that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I would go, ah, too much of a hassle. Let's not do that shot, you know. Set up everything just for a
That's why you're not in that business. That's not your thing.
I would not do that. No. That's why I don't belong in movies, man. Nope. To me, everything would be too much of a hassle, you know. Oh, you mean we're going to set up all this stuff just for 2 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, let's do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, I started watching Pineapple Express last night.
Oh yeah,
funny as hell, man.
I told you.
Have you seen that movie?
Yeah. It's so funny. Please tell me when you get to the part where they leave the car on in the woods and they wake up in the morning and he's like, James Franco's is like, "All right, man, time to go," but the car is dead, and he says it like 8 times. It's like my most favorite scene out of any movie of all time. Yeah.
Okay, so stop giving away all the movies anyway, you know?
That's literally has nothing to do with the plot of the movie.
Okay, but
I just want you to know when you get to that point, that's my favorite scene ever.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Yeah, you won't.
Probably get there tonight. Why?
He doesn't.
I watch movies like in parts, you know?
Well, yeah, it takes him like 2 years to finish a movie,
Four times.
Do you fall asleep along the way, like you watch it?
No, I get restless. I can't sit in front of a TV more than like half an hour.
Yeah.
And then I have to sit and read or do something else, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why. But so, yeah, it might take me 4 days to finish a movie, but I still enjoy it. You know?
It's cool.
I'm used to it because I read books that way too, you know?
Yeah.
In like parts. Anyway, for those of you just joining us, we're here with Laura Frecon. The name, by the way, is spelled Frecon. And if you go to laurafrecon.com, you'll see all the stuff that has to do with the costumes. And then what's the website for the eco-luxury?
So it's Vertlux, V-E-R-T-E-L-U-X-E.
Sounds good. Well, does it have a meaning?
Yes, it is French for green luxury.
Ah.
That's cute.
And my last name is French, so it just made sense to me to have green luxury in French.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Why not? So Vert is green.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
See, I don't remember that one. I understand French, kinda, but a lot of words I forgot, you know. But it's amazing how much I remember because I learned this stuff when I was like 15 years old.
Yeah.
You know?
It comes back if you're, please do not ask me to say anything in French.
Really?
No, but my Spanish is actually okay, except it gets way better when I'm, you know, in a Spanish speaking country than, you know, here. Forget everything.
Right.
Yeah, like, that's the best way to learn a language is to immerse yourself in it, you know? Have you been to France?
Yes.
I love it. Did you like it?
Yeah. I've been there 6 times, I think.
Wow.
I did a study abroad in London for a year, and so I was able to just bounce around. My parents bought me
across the channel and stuff.
Yeah, they got me like that Eurorail pass back in the day. So I'm every weekend we were like popping around to all the different countries and...
That's fun.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So for a year you lived there in the UK?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yep. That's pretty cool. So you've had quite a rich life, I would say, right? You've done quite a bit.
Yeah, I have to remind myself that sometimes when I'm like, oh, you're not doing enough or your business.
I know, right? We push ourselves like crazy here.
Yeah, but you're right. When everybody should take a minute and think back to like where they came from and where they are today.
Reflect and everything. So you grew up where in Pennsylvania, did you say?
Yep, outside of Philadelphia. Tiny, tiny town. I mean, I'm not kidding you when I would say I would to drive to the bus station to get me to New York, you would see horse and buggies.
Like, really?
It was crazy on a weekend. Like, I'd always be running late and I'd be like, I'm going to miss the bus. So, like, speeding around. And then there's like a carriage and horses. And you
like the Amish and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
You can't. They're called Mennonites. And
Mennonites?
Where I live. But I was always that like crazy person in a rush to get to my bus and then like have to stop because there's a horse.
Yeah. That's funny. And so you had a rather pretty cool childhood, would you say?
Yeah.
Do you have siblings?
Yep, I'm one of four. Oh, and we're all very close, so get along really well. Everybody's back east.
Boys and girls?
Yeah, my whole family's back east too.
Yeah. Two boys and two girls.
Oh, and what order are you?
I'm the second oldest.
Second oldest. Okay. Yeah. But were you the first girl, though?
Yes.
Okay, so you're like a firstborn in many ways. You know, I used to read a lot about birth order because it can tell you a lot about a person if you're born first or you're the youngest and stuff. I'm telling you.
I'm the youngest.
There's a whole thing about it. Okay, so you behave in certain in ways that can be like general to other people that are like that. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever. I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't pay attention to that. I'm never like, hey, what's your order? Do you have an older brother? Are you a middle child? Order. Yeah, tell me all about it.
Yeah, but no, I mean, you'll notice some things are common about firstborns and things like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. But because it's the way that society and your family treat you. When you're the first one, you know, all the love is on you and all the attention is on you. By the time you're the third one, you don't get as much, plus you're raised by your siblings more and shit like this, you know. So
well, I'm like the youngest technically to my twin.
Yeah.
Because she's older by a minute from me. But right. I will say I definitely, my whole life, got the least amount of attention.
Yeah.
I'm like, hello.
Really?
Yeah, me and my dad just beefed.
Really?
Yeah, because my sister.
Who's the oldest? Your brother?
My brother. And he got the most attention when we were kids. Attention. Yeah, the most attention.
Plus, you see, being a boy, sometimes they get more attention.
And he was a basketball player, so it was like all about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In some cultures, the boys get a lot more attention than the girls.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't know.
Have you ever seen like the Instagram posts where like people are at their gender reveal for their babies? And they like pop the balloon or open the cake and it's pink and the guy is just like.
Really?
I'm like, yo.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow, I was excited my daughter was born.
There was one where they were in the living room and he like took a baseball bat and like hit something and it was like all pink candy and he literally threw the bat and left the room.
Really?
If I was this chick, I'd be like, I can't believe I'm having a baby with this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Jeez.
Where do people come from?
I don't know.
Some people are like weird. Mm-hmm. So you grew up there. At what point did you leave that little small town and move somewhere else? Where did you move to?
I moved to Pittsburgh school? To go to college.
Yeah. Right.
And then from Pittsburgh to New York.
The path, you know. Yeah. People are like Boston, Chicago, whatever. They always go to New York first. They end up in L.A. at the end, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really do miss New York. I keep saying like, oh, I got to get back there. But then I was just there working 2 weeks ago, and I was like, "Ah, it's filthy. It's cold. It's like
it's
not the same." But I still, there's something about that, like, that city. I just love it.
Really,
I have never been in the summer.
Oh, it stinks. It's
everyone says that. People say it smells so bad in the summer.
I do not recommend.
But
New York
it smells
City
bad in
August.
The winter too. Like I always say, it smells like a giant dumpster.
Probably.
Like everywhere you go, it just smells
in a public
like trash.
Bathroom or something. You know.
Oh, it's like.
Yeah. I know, you're right. And there you have to walk a lot, so you notice it. I mean, listen, if you walked here where all the homeless are, it probably stinks the same way. You know.
Yeah.
And it's hot here too.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you gonna do? You know. I mean, what. There is a problem with human waste with these homeless, right?
Yeah.
But I went to Ralph's a month ago. Oh, God. Anytime I think of this story, I get so gross out. But their parking lot was full, so I parked on a meter.
Uh-huh.
And I got out, and I walked around, and I went to go put coins in the meter. And I stepped in human shit.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, my whole life is ruined.
Yeah.
This very moment.
Yeah.
This very moment.
Very traumatic.
I was literally standing on the sidewalk and I was like screaming. And people must have been driving by thinking I was a homeless person. But I was like, no, I just stepped in somebody's shit.
Oh, my God.
I'm scarred for life.
I wish they would do something about this, man. It's sad and it angers you at all at the same time, you know?
I feel like there just should be like more. Like maybe more like facilities that can like house people that have no housing.
Right.
And because mental health.
It's, yeah.
Right, exactly.
There's a big problem with.
Right. And a lot of it is drugs too. Because if you walk by, like even right here on the corner, you know, the highway entrance, there's usually one person there trying to get money. Today there was three of them and they were all fighting each other. Obviously whose turf that was, but you could tell all of them were like just not. Okay.
Right. Yeah. You can tell. And it obviously is mental health, and then they're unable to work.
Mm-hmm.
They have no money, and they end up on the street, you know? So, but she's right. You still need a place to put them because otherwise, how are you going to take care of their mental health if they have to live on the street.
Right.
So, but that's a political thing. We're not going to get into that. And so some of the things that, let's talk a little bit about fashion. What do you, what is the trend now? I mean, you have to be following all that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess what I would say is as a costume designer, we're more focused on the character. But as with my styling work, you know, so for instance, I just finished working on American Beauty Star. You definitely have to know what's like the top trends, but costume design is a little bit different than, right. you know, fashion design.
Right.
But the trends, well, I mean, I'm sure everybody like dad sneakers are really back in fashion mm-hmm. and big wide leg pants are in high waisted, you know, like the mom jean is back in full really? Effect. And
yeah. The mom jean is definitely in. I feel like everyone was wearing mom jeans in the restaurant last night. Yeah. Well, like nice heels and
jeans? Like Levi's or something.
Yeah. Like the baggy. They're like,
they're high waisted.
And not like tight,
not yeah, like yeah. they're baggy.
Oh, yeah. I remember those. Yeah,
like it doesn't show off your assets, if you know what I mean. But yeah. they still look like nice and classy if you style it with like a t-shirt and heels or something. Gotcha. Yeah.
Oh, well, I like the tight ones. I like to look at those.
But... yeah, but sometimes girls are just like, ugh, I need a break. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I might wear some mom jeans tonight.
Yeah.
Just because we're talking about it.
But also some of the trends, I think it's people are finally getting excited about getting back to slow fashion and ethical
fashion.
What
do you mean by that?
Slow fashion means you actually are paying attention to like where your garment's being made, who made your garment. Maybe you're only making like one or 20 of a said item as opposed to like 5 million of right. Like a red t-shirt.
Right.
So there's a lot of companies that are now really focusing on who made your clothes, getting paid a fair wage, how this garment is one of a kind, or we're only doing, you know, a small limited run. That's slow fashion.
Gotcha.
And it's because it's slow fashion is much better than fast fashion because you're actually able to pay people a fair wage to make your clothing, and it's much better for the environment because we're not putting all this waste and wasteful products into our landfills.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, take heed, folks. I mean, there's something to be said about all this, you know? So if people want to be involved, well, obviously, so tell us a little bit about how people connect then on the site. If I want to, I see you have fashions, you got some cool brands, right?
Yeah.
Fashion, beauty, life, wedding. Okay. So that's what you were talking about. For example, so wedding, what can people get? There are like what, like the wedding dresses stuff?
Yeah, so really? there are some designers out there that really focus on using eco-conscious materials. Like they're making their dresses out of piece silk, which means that the worms aren't killed when you're milling the silk. Yeah, well, so in a lot of silk that you're buying, the worms are killed after the silk is extracted from them. And so
I didn't even know silk came from worms.
It came from worms. It comes from worms. Yeah.
Yeah. But peace silk something? Is they're protecting the worms and they're not killing them when right. they harvest the silk. Bamboo is a really amazing resource that people are now finally getting excited about. And you can make almost silk-like fabrics
right.
from bamboo. So that's a really cool thing. There's a wedding gown company called Celia Grace, and they're one of my, on the Vertlux Collective, and they're doing awesome stuff in India by pressing marigolds into the bamboo fabric to make the patterns. But it's like totally not harming anybody. You're not using synthetic dyes and you're using actually like these flowers to make beautiful gowns. So there's all these new techniques that are happening. And
so you need like to get creative about this stuff in order to really conserve and.
Yeah. Or designers are now learning like, hey, Pinatex, which is what I was saying, this pineapple fabric is awesome to take the place of plastics, leathers, And it's much more sustainable.
Right.
So they're working with, I have a company that's making yoga mats out of cork, and cork is a completely sustainable material. You harvest the cork, you let it grow back. Everything that's not used in the yoga mat then gets punched in either like wine cork bottles or it's made into bags. So there's a lot of really great companies that are doing cool stuff with alternative fabrics now.
Yeah.
And how do you connect with them? Do you go to them? Do they come to you?
It's a combination.
Yeah.
Like I said, I love doing research. And so whenever I go to a new city, town, I travel so much for my job. I'm constantly like finding the farmer's market, finding the, you know, the craft fairs, doing my research on what designers are there in that city or town that I can go and meet. A lot of it's word of mouth.
Right.
Yes, people find me on Instagram. And then if they say, hey, we've got cool metal straws, DM us, I do. You know, I'm like, okay, tell me about your product.
Right.
Some companies I have discovered myself and have just followed them and reached out to them and said, you know, we really want you on the collective. We'd love to have you on this platform. So if I have any followers, so to everybody out there listening, if you know of a brand or a company that's doing great, eco, ethical, sustainable, anything, reach out to me. We have a join our tribe button on the site. You can say like, hey, I am a designer and I'm doing this. Tell me about it. And then we can have a chat and talk about it. But I personally vet everybody that's on the site. So every brand, I've either spoken with them, met with them, met them in person, you know, and make sure that they're doing really cool stuff.
Awesome. Well, Laura Fracon, I'm still saying it right.
Fracon. Yeah, I'm impressed.
And that's French, right? For those of you who wonder. And very cool. So is there anything else other than I want you to tell people once again how they can find you and Vertlux?
Yeah, we're basically going to be doing a bunch of events this season or this year. We have one coming up, and then we're going to be just started planning a vegan bridal event that will be this fall. So we're doing really cool stuff. So follow us on the site. Reach out to me. Go to vertlux.com, vertelux.com. Or any of our social handles are at vertluxlife. Just tell me, say hi, and we'll absolutely reach back out.
Right. And the other site?
Your own site? LauraFracon.com.
Sounds good. Laura, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
You're full of information and a lot of good energy and everything. And you definitely mean well with the environment and stuff. So we thank you for that. It's always good to think about this stuff because I rarely think about it, you know. Mm-hmm. But once you bring it up, it's like, yeah, let's do something, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even though, like we said, 30 years from now, I'm down under.
Yeah, yeah, but you said out. You have kids, right?
I do love kids.
See, you have them, right?
I do.
Yeah, so what about your kids' kids and their kids' kids and all the future generation?
Right. Absolutely. Right. I just don't know how long the world is going to last, to be honest with you, but or humanity at least, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with the constant threats we have, you know? And it amazes me because many younger people now are saying, I don't want to bring kids into this world.
Right.
But you know what? The world has always been tough. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people forget they had to like fight for their food, for their freedom. You know,
right.
I mean, you know, imagine you live in a tribe or something. It still happens in Africa, right? You're in a village or something. Suddenly, somebody comes and plunders and kills everybody and stuff. You know, and you have to go with swords and horses and that, and live in the mud, and you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Life and disease and stuff. So the world is not so bad. I love being alive, and let's hope it lasts a long time, you know?
Yeah.
But at any rate, so Laura, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you.
Much continued success to you, and everybody go and see Men in Black 3 for a split second. You'll see her work. All right.
No, that was just one scene that was a split second. She did the whole movie.
I know. It just sounded funny, so I had to say. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.